the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. In a California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News report, California farmers markets are facing challenges, even as produce shoppers are returning after easing pandemic restrictions. Foot traffic remains light at many urban markets as the flow of office workers remains down due to employees still working from home. Some markets remain closed, and others, like the Ferry Plaza Farmers Market in San Francisco, are climbing back toward near normal traffic levels. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about the sizable implications for the final implementation of ag overtime rules. If you haven't already responded to CDFA's proposed updates to the Healthy Soils program, we've got details on how you can participate. And I'm going to go ahead and start off today's program with the Senate's approval of California's Jenny Lester Moffitt to a USDA role. Let's jump right in. California's Jenny Lester Moffitt was nominated by President Biden for the United States Department of Agriculture Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs position. On July 15th, Moffitt testified to the Senate Agriculture Committee where she disclosed why she was suitable for the position and answered many questions regarding industry issues, including sanitary and phytosanitary laws. Committee members voted to advance her out of the committee with bipartisan support. And earlier this week, the U.S. Senate confirmed Moffitt's nomination. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow of Michigan says, quote, Moffitt brings a wealth of experience and a unique perspective as both a farmer and a policymaker. Moffitt currently serves as Undersecretary at the California Department of Food and Agriculture and previously served as Deputy Secretary for the agency. She also helped to manage her family's farm. Ranking Senate Ag member John Boozman of Arkansas adds he believes Moffitt, quote, will work in good faith to carry out the regulatory authorities for which she will be responsible in a manner that is consistent with congressional intent. Moffitt will oversee USDA's Agriculture Marketing Service Agency as well as the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service Agency. And now let's take a listen to these back-to-back reports with AgNet West's Brian German.
Sheep producers are trying to prepare for the sizable impact that the 50% increase in herders' wages is going to have. Third-generation sheep rancher in Fresno County, Ryan Indart, said the future of the valuable sheep industry in California will be in serious jeopardy once the wage hike begins next year.
California ranks number one in wool production, actually number two in sheep inventory. There's 550,000 head of sheep in our state, 3,500 family operations raising sheep and goats in California who employ about 375 herders. You know, these people would all be all but just wiped out. You know, family operations depend on infrastructure, veterinarians, feed suppliers, sheep shears, processors. You know, I mean, all that would be gone. And consumer demand for locally raised lamb is expanding. And, you know, I mean, people want locally raised lamb. And, you know, we can supply it, but that would just be gone.
And we have just begun to scratch the surface of the ecological and environmental benefits that sheep provide the landscape. I mean, like the business that I started with, we graze these large-scale solar projects. We're protecting the energy grid. Our four-legged firefighters are having a direct positive impact on protecting our energy grid from wildfires. And, you know, we're proud of that. And we're also, you know, in the process, we're sequestering carbon. You know, we're adding organic matter to soils. You know, the pastures underneath these solar projects are becoming rejuvenated. So it's just a positive impact all around. And I have other producers in the state that engage in wildland vegetation management and fuel load reduction. And they're doing that on both public and private lands. But, you know, Brian, I mean, the state's on fire. Every year it's on fire. And it's getting worse. So the fire season this year has started a lot earlier. So, you know, our sheep and our goats, our four-legged firefighters, like I say, they are becoming more and more in higher demand because of the obvious service we provide. And we can get into places where bulldozers can't and, you know, fire crews have a hard time getting into and cattle have a hard time getting into. So, you know, I mean, we're just scratching the surface. It's a burgeoning, growing aspect of our segment of our industry, and it would all go away. I mean, it's just a shame, just, you know, if that was to happen.
The California Leafy Greens Marketing Agreement Board has voted to implement a risk-based pre-harvest testing requirement to further bolster food safety. The industry-led testing initiative is expected to be up and running beginning in 2022. LGMA CEO Tim York explained what growers can expect from the new requirement.
So what growers are being required to do is conduct a risk assessment. So looking at whatever factors might be a potential risk to a lettuce or leafy greens crop, whether it's animal proximity, it's water runoff, it's high winds or weather events, anything that might affect the safety of that crop. If the growers deem that there is a potential risk, then that would trigger risk-based pre-harvest testing. And we've got very specific protocols the growers need to follow in terms of how they conduct that test, how many samples, how they walk the plot, everything else. And so this is just one other measure to double check that the mitigation steps that we've taken are effective. And if they're not, then when we receive a positive test, then the growers are required to go through and do what's called a root cause analysis and determine how and why that crop was potentially contaminated. So was it wind? Was it weather? Was it wild animal intrusion? What was it that caused that crop to become contaminated so that in the future, we know how to prevent that.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman, when we return. Don't forget, if you'd like to catch a recap of any of the reports mentioned in our show today, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Brian German with more local news.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is looking for public comment on proposed changes to the Healthy Soils Program. The Budget Act of 2021 has appropriated a total of $50 million in one-time funding from the General Fund to further CDFA's implementation of the Healthy Soils Program. CDFA's Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation will be accepting comments on the recommendations for proposed new management practices to be included in the program. Submitted proposals have been reviewed by a committee of technical subject matter experts from California universities and USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. CDFA Secretary Karen Ross expressed her appreciation for the new infusion of funding for the program as CDFA continues its work to provide farmers and ranchers with new tools with the development of innovative new management practices and funding support for additional projects. The HSP Incentives Program provides financial assistance for the implementation of ag management practices to improve soil health, sequester carbon, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. HSP demonstration projects showcase the implementation of HSP practices by farmers and ranchers. Anyone interested in providing feedback will have until 5 p.m. on Wednesday, August 27th to electronically submit comments. After consideration of public comments is given, any approved new management practices would be included in the upcoming round of the HSP demonstration projects. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, U.S. red meat exports closed the first half of the year on a strong note. At least that's according to data recently released by USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And during this week's Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA trade show in Nashville, Tennessee, U.S. MEF President and CEO Dan Holstrom told Agnet Media that they are seeing growth that is very broad.
We're up 18% year-to-date through 6 months, which is by far a record pace over 2018. But I think the really exciting thing about it is that we're seeing growth that's very broad-based. It's not one or two markets. We have the larger, well-established markets like Japan, Korea, Mexico that are performing well and rebounding. But we have some regions that are really China. China's doing very, very well. And you've got places like Central America, you know, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Panama, places like South America with Chile, Colombia, Peru. You add all these smaller markets up, they're not so small. And we're seeing pretty dramatic growth despite the pandemic. And you look at Asia, most of Asia is still in some sort of a food service lockdown. So what does that mean? That means retail is booming. That means your e-commerce, your delivery platforms are booming. And it also means that when food service does come back, and it will at some point, that's more boon for the demand for U.S. beef down the road as well. So I think we're pretty well situated.
When we take a look at the numbers, though, a lot of people say, well, yeah, 2020, sure, they're going to be up in 2021. But there's a lot of ways of looking at that. That is true to a certain extent, but we're seeing some growth in other areas, too, aren't we?
We are, but even if you go back to 2019, there's quite a few markets that are ahead of 2019. So, yeah, you're right, though. We're comparing against a lower bar a year ago. But like I said, the exciting thing is that this growth is not one or two markets. It's pretty broad-based.
Now, compared to 2018, the record year for U.S. beef exports, first half results for this year were actually up 6% in volume, 15% in value. Now, as for pork exports, the first half of this year did top last year's record pace, but Halstrom says the situation with pork is a little bit different.
Pork's coming off a record the last 3 years, and you know we're a couple percent above a year ago, which was by far a record last year. And the situation on pork's a little different. You know, we had it generally run really hard a year ago because of China. It was up to, we had 1 million metric tons that were exported to China last year. We're down about 18 to 20% so far this year, which we knew would happen as they repopulate in China. But we're making up that delta with other markets. Once again, outside of China, broad-based growth. Japan, Korea, Mexico, Central America, South America. So the tone outside of China is pretty similar between beef and pork, which is a good thing for producers here.
Now, if you'd like to see a detailed summary of the first half export results for U.S. beef and pork and also lamb, it's all on the USMEF website, usmef.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
Hosted by Farm Bureau in partnership with Farm Credit is the Ag Innovation Challenge. This contest showcases U.S. startups that are creating solution-forward innovations to address the challenges facing the agriculture industry. This challenge was first created back in 2015, and it was the first of its kind. And it looks to identify top entrepreneurs who address both traditional challenges farmers face, such as labor and operational costs, as well as how to adapt to unforeseen future challenges. Farm Bureau will award $165,000 in startup funds to 10 businesses, concluding at a live pitch competition and networking event at the AFBF Annual Convention in January of next year, hosted in Atlanta, Georgia. The Ag Innovation Challenge winner will be awarded $50,000 in startup funds. If you'd like to take a chance at the challenge, you can visit fb.org and submit your application. The deadline to apply is coming up on August 20th. And it's that time where we head out for another break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news right here on Agnet West Farm City News Day. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. When it comes to sustainability, the NCBA has goals set out by its Sustainability Goals Task Force. During the NCBA convention, a panel hosted by NCBA's Ashley McDonald had members of the work group, including Brantley Ivey from Virginia, James Vaughn from Georgia, and Mike Williams of California, go over goals regarding environmental, economic, and social sustainability.
So, as part of the goals task force, these individuals, along with several other volunteer beef producers from across the country, spent countless hours and a lot of effort in developing these goals, as well as evaluating the current state of the cattle industry and evaluating where we had opportunities for improvements that are critical for our continued progress. And that will keep us the global leader in sustainable beef production. So they, like many of the attendees here at the Cattle Industry Convention who make their living from raising cattle, want to share the story of our progress that's being made and the commitment that our industry has to sustainability. So we want to talk to these guys. We want to ask them. They're going to go into depth into each of these goals. So first, I'd ask Brantley to come up here, and we're going to talk about our environmental goal, something you guys probably heard this morning. So, Brantley, if you want to join me.
Thank you, Ashley. As Ashley said, I'm Brantley Ivey. I'm a Virginia cattleman. And first, I would like to say that I'm one of 17 that was on this task force. All of the goals had input from every task force, and we voted on it unanimously. So, wide support, diverse group of people on the task force, from California to Virginia to Montana to Florida. Our environmental goal will focus on continued research. Well, the goal, from an environmental standpoint, our goal is to demonstrate climate neutrality of the U.S. cattle industry by the year 2040. Our environmental goal will focus on continued research, analyzing data and production practices to show the U.S. cattle production is climate neutral, meaning we're implementing and managing systems that have the potential to minimize greenhouse gas emissions. Furthermore, this goal also focuses on environmental practices like grazing management, maintaining clean water sources, soil health, and carbon sequestration are at the forefront of ranchers' daily decisions. And it's because of this that U.S. beef's carbon footprint is 10 to 50 times lower than other regions of the world. On a personal note, no other industry that I know of is as emotionally or even spiritually connected to the property in which we are stewards of. As with all industries, there's room for improvement, and we seek that improvement. But I know our industry feels an overwhelming obligation or responsibility to leave our planet better than we found it. My 10-year-old daughter is in attendance with us here today, and I know it is my responsibility to leave our ranch in better shape than it was when I found it.
Thanks, Brantley. Thanks for that overview of the environmental goal. So next, we're going to talk about our economic goal. So, James, would you join me here at the podium?
Hello, everyone. I'm James Vaughn, and I raise cattle in Middle Georgia. And first, I'd like to make sure everybody understands that U.S. cattle producers like me work hard every day to produce beef in a manner that is environmentally, economically, and socially sustainable. Our task force is putting a strong focus on measuring these efforts so we can demonstrate what the good work that producers do in this regard that's already there. Our economic goal that we've established for NCBA is to create and enhance opportunities that result in a quantifiable increase in producer profitability and economic sustainability by 2025. In order to achieve industry-wide progress toward these sustainability goals, U.S. cattle producers have to be economically viable. The existence of a positive business climate is imperative to ensure that cattle producers remain in business and continue to provide superior societal and conservation value. The bottom line is that for me, for my farm, has to be economically sustainable in order to continue to exist. On our farm, we have linked economic sustainability with conservation practices. My dad planted our open land to grass in the 1940s and 1950s when cotton was still king in Georgia. He saw early on that the gently rolling hills of the Georgia Piedmont where we live needed grass and trees to cover and protect the soil and water resources. He also learned quickly that cattle were key to the grass management. I have continued his practices and added new ones over time. My sons that help me operate the farm, they're carrying on with this work, and I've got small grandchildren that I hope will be there too in the future. One small example of the types of practices that we employ is fencing cattle out of streams and installing carefully constructed water systems to replace their drinking water. This practice not only protects the streams and the banks from erosion and keeps the water clean, but it also helps distribute the grazing pressure on the pastures, which helps manage the cattle, and it improves the soil, makes our job easier. And the key to all of this is clean water, fertile soil, grows better grass, and we produce better cattle. The nutritious grass and the better cattle are the keys to our profitability. Our conservation practices improve the environment for wildlife, cattle, and members of my family that live on our farms. These production practices that we employ in a sustainable manner increase the economic sustainability of our farm, which is a necessity if the farm is to continue to improve. It's simple. Good environmental practices are good production practices, and good production practices sustain us economically.
Well, thanks, James. And I think he highlighted the interconnectedness of the goals from environmental into economic, which, of course, will continue with our final goal, which is the social pillar. So then we'll have covered all three. So, Mike, do you want to cover our last two goals, which both fall under the social pillar?
I'd like to start by making a few comments about the process the task force went through to set goals. These goals were developed by a broad and diverse group of producers from across the United States. The discussions was open and all input was considered, and these goals are a product of that work. We all have goals for individual operations to set a path forward. This is no different. The goals show that U.S. cattle producers are committed and accountable. They can also help to communicate to retailers, consumers, and those that are interested how we are operating in a sustainable manner. Beef production in the U.S. is the most sustainable production system on the planet. Nowhere on earth are more pounds of beef raised with fewer resources and done so more efficiently and more humanely than right here. And that's the key to our next goal. We are committed to enhancing trust in cattle producers as responsible stewards of their animals and resources by expanding educational opportunities and animal care and handling programs to further improve animal well-being. Our responsibility to our animals and their care is vital. Producers make every effort to ensure adequate water, feed, and nutrition. We also prioritize humane treatment. I'm a beef quality assurance certified producer, I've had extensive training in low-stress stockmanship and handling techniques. The BQA guidelines, in combination with experience and environment-specific needs, help farmers and ranchers ensure animal welfare through daily husbandry and animal care. This is the key to our first social sustainability goal. We have an additional sustainability goal that focuses on continuously improving our industry's workforce safety and well-being. The success of U.S. cattle production is largely dependent on our workforce, owners, ranch managers, livestock haulers, pen riders, veterinarians, animal handlers, everyone who has a hand in the success of our industry. Making sure that we have a well-trained workforce is the first step to ensuring the well-being of our workforce. Cattle that are well cared for are also more productive. In our part of the country, producing more beef with fewer resources is important. We're also incorporating better genetics and developing and improving protocols that will help our cattle make the most of the resources that are available to us.
This was just a portion of the conversation. To listen to the full panel, visit agwire.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of today's national headlines and agriculture reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. House lawmakers introduced the Ocean Shipping Reform Act of 2021. The bipartisan legislation is the first major update of federal regulations for the global ocean shipping industry since 1998. The legislation would support American exports by establishing reciprocal trade opportunities to help reduce the United States' longstanding trade imbalance with China and other countries. South Dakota Republican Dusty Johnson and California Democrat John Garamendi introduced the legislation. The congressmen served together in the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure and announced their intention to pursue the legislation during the subcommittee hearing on July 15, 2021. The bill seeks to establish reciprocal trade to promote U.S. exports as part of the Federal Maritime Commission's mission and require ocean carriers to adhere to minimum service standards that meet the public interest, reflecting best practices in the global shipping industry, among other measures. The bill has large agriculture and transportation industry support. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West, and now for more agriculture news. Food prices are on the rise. USDA's Gary Crawford talks with USDA economist Carolyn Chelius, who has the latest.
Retail food prices.
It's a very hot topic to be involved in right now.
And economist Carolyn Chelius, who tracks food prices for the Ag Department, says she's not sure whether she likes being in the economic spotlight. But sure enough, food prices are a hot topic, some fairly hot rates of inflation going, for example.
We've seen really large increases over the past few months consecutively for meat categories like beef and veal.
The latest consumer price index showing beef going up last month by over 0.5%, rising about 6.5% over the last 12 months. Pork's up almost 8% higher than a year ago.
So we're seeing a lot of those protein categories really increase.
Grocery store food prices overall continue to rise month after month. July's increase about 0.5%. Now, if that monthly rate were to continue for the rest of the year, we'd have a 2021 price hike of just over 5%. Last year, with COVID, grocery store food prices went up 3.5%. The current forecast for this year, 2-3% hike. But USDA will issue a food price forecast update August 23rd. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Yeah. You've been listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West, providing you statewide agriculture news daily. Now let's take a listen to today's featured segments.
In today's Western View, I'd like to tell you the story of how my Apple Watch saved my life. A few months ago, my night's rest was interrupted with a coughing fit. Something was choking me up. I dealt with it and went back to sleep. But when I woke up in the morning, my watch said I'd had an AFib attack. I didn't believe it. I hardly knew what it was, just that it had to do with the heart. I knew I had something like asthma, so I didn't worry about it. After all, my blood tests had shown good triglycerides and cholesterol levels for many years. I had no pains in the chest or any other indications, so I just didn't worry about heart trouble. But about 2 weeks later, the same thing happened. And this time, I mentioned it to my wife, who insisted that I go to the doctor. So I called, and magically there was an appointment made available for me that afternoon. I went in, and after they thumped my chest and listened to things, and they called a heart specialist and made arrangements for me to see him. The cardiologist ran a number of tests, none of which were conclusive. But he told me he just wasn't satisfied, that he still felt there was something going on he couldn't put his finger on. He scheduled an angiogram for me and told me we would talk afterwards. But before the angiogram could be done, I felt some weird little pain in my chest. It was nothing major, just a minor uneasiness. And there were none of the other symptoms that we've all heard about, the tingling in the hands and the pain and painful left arm and so on. So I wasn't too worried about it, but my wife insisted I go to the emergency room and have it checked out. So, of course, I'm a good husband. I did as I was told. But still, without pain or any indications of trouble, for some reason, the doctor admitted me, and an angioplasty was made the next day. Well, you can probably see where this is going. I had an 80% blockage on the vein they call the widowmaker. The doctor told me I probably needed a triple bypass. He also said if I hadn't had this checked out, there's a very good chance I would have had a heart attack in the next couple of weeks. And as for good triglycerides and cholesterol, some people have a genetic predisposition for heart trouble that just doesn't show up in lab tests. Well, I had the surgery and the recovery's been long and difficult, but it's much easier than it would have been after a heart attack. I still have a ways to go to get back to normal, but I'm grateful for many things. A smart wife, good medical care, and the advanced warning I got from this little electronic device on my wrist. Yes, I'm a firm believer in the Apple Watch. I'm Lynn Wilcox, and this is the Western View for Agnet West and Citrus Industry Magazine.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West. And our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West.